Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, South Kakalaka! Don't you dare be sour! Clap for your world famous two-time champs and feel the power!
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
For 12-Pack Radio, get excited, y'all.
Welcome back, everyone, to 12-Pack Radio, your podcast source for Pac-12 football news, the home of the Beta Rate College Football Statistical Model, and your home for Sharp College Football, where all your dreams come true. Every advanced statistical metric you could ever think of up on sharpcollegefootball.com. Thanks for joining us. This is Brian Conger, and we are finally in preview season. I'm excited. I'm listening to some of these national podcasts, and I'm like, ooh, ooh, we're doing over-unders. No, we're not doing over-unders. We're doing deep dives into your teams. We're going through every position. We're taking a look to see what the Pac-12 is going to look like, what these teams project as we move into the 2022 season. I'm joined, as always, by Rob Barron. And Rob, one of the things, like, I don't know about you, but I got my fill of the realignment talk. Like, I listened to all the podcasts, I got all the takes, and I'm done. Like, I'm happy to put this into a little box and put it up in my attic until, you know, Notre Dame joins the Big Ten. I'm so excited just to get into college football season because it's coming faster than I had anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only thing that's going to move anything as far as like further like realignment for the Big Ten, and I think the SEC you would consider done at this point, is Notre Dame. And then the only interesting thing to keep an eye on really for both Pac-10 and the Big 12 will be the what happens out of the Big 10 deal, right? Like because their TV deal is going to be finalized. And, you know, is Fox able to elbow ESPN out? That would open up more inventory on ESPN. That might be good for the Pac-10. Is CBS, who lost the SEC, involved? Isn't NBC expanding what they're doing? Are there any streaming? Like, anybody that comes out of that deal with a piece of the Big Ten is probably going to be looking for more content to put around it.
Let's go. The more the merrier, man. I'm excited about. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, sit still. Like, get yourself some popcorn. Like, watch the football. Like, because there's nothing imminently happening on any front until then.
The official Big Ten tryouts begin in a month, Rob. No, I'm just kidding. Like, it's all about where you, which is sad. It's sad. Like that. That's why I'm excited about talking about the actual teams, right? Because if you're at Utah, if you're at Oregon, you know, and you consistently are putting out pretty good products, and like it doesn't matter because you're in Eugene or Salt Lake City rather than LA. Part sucks. The best part about college football is it doesn't matter where you're from. If you're building a product and you're building a program, we're going to cover you here like on the show because I'm so friggin' excited about the season. This is the second year coming out of COVID, so no more excuses, right? Even UCal. I know Cal's been the most cautious. Now they have an opportunity to really show what they have. And our deep dive previews, Rob, are starting now. We're going to do ASU and we're going to do Utah. And I figure what we would do is take a look at these teams position by position, you know, talk through the numbers to start, and then kind of assign, like, if you're playing NCAA football, I've been doing a little Madden to get the juices flowing, you know, like just, you know, run the ball left, run the ball right, chuck that ball down the field. And I figure what we do is like take a look at the position groups and assign like a rating that you would do if you're playing NCAA football 2014, RIP, soon to come back from the ashes, resurrecting like a phoenix. I'm excited about that too. But I think that will give our listeners, I think, a better understanding of where these teams are, where the weaknesses, where the strengths are. And let's just start with ASU, Rob. We talked a little bit about them throughout the offseason, but really this is the focus where we're going full deep dive into them. just a crazy year, obviously, with the departures that we had at the program, both of the coaching staff and the player staff. We got Emory Jones coming in from Florida to be the starting quarterback, overtaking the great-great-great-grandson of Rutherford B. Hayes or something. I forget. I don't know what's going on. I really know of Bear Bryant. And this, like, so I was doing my season win totals here, and we'll this is more about your team. This isn't will you win this game, will you win that. It's more about, like, what does this team look like? But I do think it's like an interesting a mental exercise of like what you think this team would do for the season win totals. Because I had ASU is still going to a bowl. I think this team it could be a train wreck and the wheels fly off, right? Like, it's a very rickety bowl, and it's like the Gildan Underwear Bowl in New Mexico is probably where they're going. But if they do it, but if they keep things together. Rob, I think in the Pac-12 and with their schedule, this is a team that possibly could get to a bowl and get at least go 500. What do the numbers say?
I mean, so we've got them projected right to win, and if you add in the FCS game, seven games. Now, I'm not sure, the projection model is, I'm not sure we've got a really good handle on transfers yet. far as the modeling goes. So I want to lead with that. But it does project them at slightly over 500 in conference. And there's some positives. I mean, like last season, the defense was pretty good. They graded out at 31 overall in beta rank. Now, the offense wasn't great. They were at 60. But what's interesting, I think, too, is when we and look at this team, their special teams were horrendous. I do expect them to improve. It's hard to rank at 103 in special teams. When you're a Power Five school, so I expect them to get better there. That should help around the margins. But I feel like last season we talked about like the defense really carried this team. It might be the offense this year that has to really put it together. But the Pac-12 is not overwhelming, And outside of the game against Oklahoma State, you got an FCS team and you got Eastern Michigan. I mean, it's a somewhat manageable schedule.
Yeah. It's an interesting team to look at. Let's dive into the quarterback, I guess, to start, right? You have Emory Jones, likely starter here, Paul Tyson, and then everybody's favorite pajama ball champion, Trenton Bourquet, who comes in. Possibly he might even be second, actually, to be honest, because I don't think anybody really knows where Paul Tyson is. We'll find out during fall camp. But, I think Jones, for the most part, is an intriguing piece, and you could tell that Herm Edwards was kind of not kicking the tires on some transfers, even though we got Paul Tyson from Alabama. What do you expect from Jones here as we see what he puts together in Tempe?
I think one way to look at this is that there's no depth, right? I mean, like, truly, they don't have a lot that they can hang their hat on depth wise, but Jones is a really intriguing guy. Like, he was pretty good at Florida. Now, he did get beat out. But like last season he was completing, and he was the better passer than Anthony Richardson. But he was completing almost 65% of his passes, 7.9 per. His interceptions certainly came back to haunt him a bit, but he was pretty good last season. And I don't think, if you are an ASU fan, you should not be looking at this as like a major downgrade versus Jaden Daniels. Because certainly last season, like, Daniels did not add a lot in the passing game. They graded out at 83 in effective pass.
Yeah. I watching all those games with him, you just kind of go, oh man, I guess this is what it is. And it seemed like there was a plateau there. The other thing that you want to keep in mind with Jones is just his ability to make that field stretch through his legs, right? 750 yep. yards on the ground, 4 touchdowns. So he adds and Daniels could run, but I mean, Jones can run. Like, I don't know if that makes sense, right? Like, I think you get a significant.
Well, he's a lot like Daniels added something in the passing game, but Jones is a physical specimen in the way that Daniels was not, right? Like, yeah. Jones is a guy that not only will elude tackles, he's going to break a few.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what he's able to do. The weird thing for me is what this wide receiving core is, because I happen to be a little bit more bullish actually on the wide receivers in Tempe. Like, I was listening to the Cover 3. I really like that show. I really disagreed with Bud Elliott. He was talking about ASU's wide receiving core being one of the worst in the Power Five. And I don't think that's right. I think Brian Thompson, even though he didn't really show out on the field last year, is a good wide receiver. I watched him at Utah and he's fun. Like, I think he can be a solid number two wide receiver. You have Elijah Badger, who still, came in with a lot of pedigree. And I think he has an opportunity to be solid. Jalen Conyers. And then you got, like, after that, I think there really is a drop off, right? Like, you have Chad Johnson's kid, Andre Johnson's kid. Are they good? Like, I have no idea, right? Like, they came in with 4 stars, but I'm wondering if that's because of their last name, even though they're from different, different families, but same last name, but different famous families that I'm sure added some attention to their recruiting rankings. I'm curious what you think about that, because I'm not as, look, I don't think this is the best wide receiving core in the Pac-12, but I don't think it's the worst. And I think that there's a little bit of upside here when you bring in a quarterback that can throw the ball down the field.
I mean, like, I wouldn't have them. I mean, to your point, right? Like, I think they're like a solid C in the wide receiving core, I mean, they're not great, right? Like, Ricky Pearsall is definitely your, wait, he's gone.
He's gone. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He's your best wide receiver. I mean, like, let's be clear. I mean, this passing game sucked.
Yeah.
Last season, and they lost, and I don't think it necessarily sucked because the wide receivers were bad, but they didn't add a lot, on their own either. But like, a lot of their best players are gone, and have transferred out. So, I mean, I think that there's guys that are going to get an opportunity. I mean, I think to your point, there's no depth, but it gets really thin really fast. When you're talking about, like, Brian Thompson's probably your most experienced wide receiver. I mean, sure, he was fun at Utah-ish. he had moments. He had a lot of times where he just disappeared. And I think if you look across the conference, though, this is still, I think you'd have to say, one of the weaker units in the conference.
Yeah. I mean, let me take a look at, I guess we can go down and look at these wide receiving cores. I just think, I am kind of going back on what I had said when we did our initial, look into ASU, where I was like mortified when people were like, oh no, Ricky Pearsall is leaving. Like, this is a total disaster. And I'm like, wait, what? like Ricky Pearsall is fine. And he was a good player at ASU. But like, if you're adding him at Oregon or USC, or if you're adding him at at Utah, Utah would be different because they just have run a different offense, but like a legit program. And I forget where he went. Did he go to USC?
He went to Florida. A lot of these guys have gone to better, a lot of their wide receivers have gone to I think Bunky Shelton went to Oklahoma, they've been, they have transferred to but some of that though is these are guys that are coming in and they were rated 4 stars out of high school. People are going to take a flyer on them. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, I struggle with, this is the one where somebody tells me it's going to be addition by subtraction. And I'm just I these guys couldn't beat out these last guys.
Yeah.
We're okay.
Yeah. But looking at the wide receivers, right? I think their wide receivers are better than UCLA. I think they're better than Utah.
They're better than Utah, Oregon State, Colorado. I mean, even Johnny Wilson transferred. when you're going through who actually had catches last year, Johnny Wilson was a freshman. He only caught 12 balls, but Andre Johnson is probably your, he only caught 12 balls. He's probably your best returning wide receiver.
Yeah.
Woof.
Yeah. All right.
I think too, in the conference, it is worth, recognizing that a lot of other teams did go out and make more hay in the transfer portal or in signings than ASU did. USC certainly went out and signed some guys. Even Arizona got Cowings, there's, the conference has upgraded a little bit you know, with some of the schools wide receiver, like ASU, I mean, they could have really, what they could have really used something to help offset the transfers out in this room in particular.
Yeah. I think you're probably right with that C grade. Maybe I'm overvaluing Brian Thompson, but like I watched him at Utah. I'm like, that guy's a star. But he had like 12 catches at ASU last year. So maybe not. We'll take a look. But, and then like, you know, you bring in a couple tight ends. I think Conyers is interesting, right? He came over from Oklahoma. There's some other folks there that are, but like, I guess what I'm saying is I don't think it's going to be a disaster. And I think Emory Jones offers the chance to upgrade that group of wide receivers just based on the fact that he can throw hopefully an accurate pass. Now he throws a lot of accurate passes to the other team. But so did Jaden Daniels. Like, you know, I think that there's a chance that they get higher than where they were last year.
I think the OC fits what they've got.
Yeah.
As far as with Jones and everything, like, I think like, I mean, now if Jones gets hurt and they're relying on Tyson with this offensive coordinator, they might be in a very bad place.
That's true.
Or Bourget. But like with Emory Jones, like this really, like I'm not so like in the same way that like you remember, I mean, of course you remember, but like years back when like all of a sudden Arizona's like craptastic offense under Rich Rod and like the final years where they're like insert Khalil Tate and like things happened, right?
Yeah.
Like I think Jones' legs can be a real equalizer here. And if he stays healthy and doesn't get really banged up, I think he can help really put the, like in both buying time and gaining yards, really put the defense off balance. And I think this offense will try to really highlight that for him. And the offensive line was, I think the coaching's been pretty good, to be frank. I actually like their offensive line was good last season. And I think they're going to be able to run the ball. Because the guy they're bringing in from Wyoming, which had just an exodus of talented players out of Wyoming, is good. Like, you know, he rushed for 1,000 yards last year. I think he'll be good.
Yeah. You have Daniel Legata there also. And they've they've been able to recruit fairly well at the running back position. And I totally agree with you on this front. Like Ladarius Henderson returns, Ben Scott at center. I thought one of the things that was interesting, right there. Now there has been an exodus of players out of the ASU program, and most of that is a problem. I thought the one exit that I found interesting and actually almost like it sucks for depth, but I think it's good for the starting five is the fact that Spencer Lavelle left the program. Like, I think he got beaten out. He got straight up beaten for his position at tackle. And I think that's a good thing. Like, I think the starting five that they'll bring back, and to your point, Rob, I do think the offensive line has been really solid because for a couple of years we were looking at the players in that program and going like, I don't know, like this is a problem. And, they were able to build up Henderson. They've been able to do a fairly good job in the transfer portal, bringing folks in. Now that doesn't always work, but even here where you have like Des Holmes and Chris Martinez and like, you know, players that are coming in, it does add some depth for them. And I think that they'll be coached up pretty well. I think this offense, like, is it a B minus?
Yeah. I mean, I think overall, like, you know, there's the parts that you like I give them a quarterback just because of the total lack of depth, I would say I give him a B minus. I think Jones himself is a B. I think running back is a B, B plus. I think offensive line's a B, and then your wide receiver and tight end come in at a C's. And gives you kind of a B minus, but that's not bad. Like, and I think with I honestly think the offensive coordinator could be a bit of an upgrade over what they're doing. And I think Jones is an upgrade over what they were doing with Daniels.
Yeah.
Even though it's funny because people are going to be like, oh, Jaden Daniels is starting at LSU. And I'm like, well, win some, lose some, guys, like count your blessings.
And I think, you know, everything's relative here. Whereas if this offense was at Oregon, we would be crapping all over it, right? Like, you say, oh, they got a good offensive line, but they're going to lean into the run. And in the past, they haven't been able to throw. Their wide receivers aren't great. And, you know, who knows about their quarterback? Actually, now that I think about it, SEC transfer quarterback that was okay. A good running game, bad wide receivers, and a good offensive line. That kind of sounds like Oregon's Oregon's offense. But I mean, like, this is clearly a step down. It's like the poor man's Oregon offense. But if these players were all in Oregon's team or Utah's team, I don't think we'd be as high on them. But because they're at ASU and because the state of the program, I actually think that the expectations are lower than they probably should be for this offense. And that gives me a little bit of encouragement, particularly with the upgraded quarterback, hopefully knock on wood. Anything else in the offense before we flip to the defense?
No. I mean, look, I expect them to be like last year. They were a bad Power Five offense. There's a lot of subtractions, but I think that there's still room for optimism. Like there's still room, I think, with a decent offensive line, a better quarterback and a better coordinator for them to improve off of where they were last year.
Yeah. And just to reiterate, like the wheels could fall off because of the state of the program.
Absolutely.
Right. So like there is another world where this offense just sucks because everybody's given up. But
If Jones gets injured too.
Yeah. But they might be a good bet at the beginning of the year. You know, have a little bit of heart in some of these early games, you know, try to make a statement. And then as the grind shows up and then you got to travel more, as like you start losing a couple games, that's where things I think might get a little shady. But let's get to the defense for ASU, and let's do it right after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, he's declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay, we're back. We're talking defense, which in the past, Rob, has been the strength of this ASU team. I mean, and again, I don't think they've gotten enough credit that they deserve for being fairly consistent, particularly in the trenches at both the offensive and the defensive line, Rob. But you take a look this year and we have some problems, right? We have Jermaine Lole is gone, and that's a major problem. Like I think Omar Norman Lott came back at tackle, so they're at least able to fill the hole. But he was a monster, and him leaving this program along with some of the along with the linebacker Eric Gentry, going to take some hits. The secondary, they lose a lot of players in the secondary too. So
a lot of players.
Yeah, I know, that's a bummer because I just thought that ASU. Now I don't, what were their numbers last year? Because I don't think on the advanced side they were as good as I thought they were. But it seemed
they were
like
at 31, yeah. Which was like their problem more than anything. They were really good at containing big plays. They contained explosive drives. They were decent in negative drives. They were at number 30 there. They were at number 12 in explosive drives, where they struggled. They just, you could put together drives against this team. They were at 85th in drive efficiency. So there are definitely some things about this team where you thought like, oh man, if they could just kind of put it together, and they never quite did, but they were still I don't know if there's anybody that was more skeptical of Antonio Pierce as a defensive coordinator than I was, and he wasn't bad, and I will admit that, right? Like, yeah. I was like, are you sure this is a good idea, guys? Like, this guy was coaching high school not that long ago.
Yeah.
And he wasn't bad. I think the defense ended up last season, like the defense was far and away the better unit. Holy smokes, right? Like, to your point, the transfers, like Merlin Robinson's back. Robertson's back, so there's that. But and like they get I believe Travis Moore back from injury. He's the LSU transfer that they were kind of hoping for some things from. He got injured early last season, but with Lole transferring out, that one really hurts because they were really hoping he was going to be able to come in and help stabilize things. The, you know, Jack Jones is gone. I mean, like, just almost the entire secondary is gone. That is, like, I think where my main questions lie. I mean, I think the defensive line can be decent. I don't have them. I mean, I think I might put, I think the linebackers are the only ones I have graded out as like a B. But I think the safeties and cornerback play could be really interesting. And these are all, I mean, look, like we talked about, like we didn't mention this. Like, I thought ASU was a lot better at recruiting wide receivers than they were developing wide receivers with the prior guy that got fired.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, I think that was a really big problem for them. I thought the secondary coaching was pretty good. And I think they're starting from scratch there with a new face. So like that one, it's a bit of a mystery for me how the back end of this defense shapes up.
Yeah. I want to start with the front line because it's been consistently good and they have some interesting players, right? Like Omar Norman Lott at tackle, Nesta Jade, I think it's Silvera, who was a Miami transfer, I believe is interesting. So you have the bodies there. You know, our friend Hippolyte kind of talks about, look, if you're going to run some defenses, you need the big guys. And for the most part, ASU has been able to recruit and field good big guys that can plug up that center. And on the outside, Trevez Moore, I think Michael Mattis, it's fine. Like, I don't think that this line is going to blow people away, but I do think consistently the defense has been really solid on that front. And then, like you mentioned, you still return Merlin Robertson for whatever that means, right? You know, he's kind of been, he had a great freshman year. I think he fell off and sounds like he was in the doghouse a little bit his sophomore year. And I think now he's a senior. I mean, Kayla McCullough, Kyle Sole, if you ask anybody that covers ASU, they love him because he's just like a solid college player, you know? I think the front seven is, I think it's a B, or like even I think the ceiling is a B plus for them. Is that too optimistic?
I mean, I think that there's some guys that you can talk yourself into stepping up, but like overall one of the things they really struggled with the last season was generating sacks, right? Like, out of the defensive line, they didn't have anybody that you were really all that afraid of, on the defensive line there. And a lot of it, I think, was coverage sacks because the secondary was, I mean, to be honest, I thought the secondary was pretty good. So that is going to make it, I think, interesting, right? Like, there are some guys like, I mean, did BJ Green transfer out? If he's still there, like he's probably the guy they're probably most excited about coming into this next season. But some of these guys, like to your point, you're right. Like if you could get Green, Norman Lott, if you're getting Trevez Moore, you do potentially have some guys that I think could take that next step from where they were last year.
Yeah. It's just up to the staff to keep them motivated. And again, this is a repeating theme, but the wheels could come off and then this line that has a little bit of potential to get a little higher on that ceiling might just come crumbling down and whatever, nobody cares. But on paper, not bad. I totally agree with you on the secondary because where were they in pass defense last year?
They were at 30.
That's not bad. That's pretty consistent.
But I think a lot of that was I think a lot of it was last season was like, I thought the coverage was pretty good. And I didn't think that they were as good at generating as much pass rush as you would have liked.
Yeah. I mean, I hear you there. And they do lose a lot. I mean, they bring in T. Marcus Thomas, the Baylor transfer at corner, Roe Torrance, the Auburn transfer at corner. I have Jordan Clark at the nickel. And then at the safety spot, I think things get a little weird, right? They bring in Corey Bethley, Hawaii transfer, Chris Edmonds, a Sanford transfer. He was an All-American at the FCS level. So this is where things do get shaky because that is a lot of players to rely on to fill in holes. And to get them all to work together is difficult. And if this secondary is good next year, make the secondary coach the head coach when they fire Herm Edwards, right? Like, that's a good job.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, that's probably your biggest question coming into the season. And what was a fairly consistent unit, right? Like, if we're, you know, they were, you know, you absolutely had guys, you know, in the secondary that were, you know, like Jack Jones, Chase Lucas. I mean, these guys held things down for them for a long, I mean, yeah. And were good players. You know, a lot of these guys are going to be in, you know, those guys are going to be in training camps, you know, getting ready for the NFL. Those are big losses for them, right? Like, it's not, I mean, there's not really anyone commensurate that you'd be losing on the, you know, other parts of the defense. I really think this was the strength of this defense for the last, you know, last season in particular. I'm interested to see, like, you know, look, I think the coaching has been good. They still have, you know, God, they've got like the entire, like, early, like, they've got like the, like, millennial coaches from the Baltimore Ravens, like everybody from the Baltimore Ravens, like Brian Billick is advising them, like Marvin Lewis, their new defensive coordinator, coach with the Ravens. I mean, they're all old, but they could be good.
And Rob, one of the things that you mentioned too is like Jack Jones, right? Transfer from USC, who like was written off by that program, you know, and like when he came to ASU, he hadn't played for a year, which is a testament to his talent that he got to the point where he is, and B, a testament to Chris Hawkins and his ability to coach up the secondary. Here's the problem. Chris Hawkins was fired. And I think of all the coaches that had a bad falling out, he was the one where it was like the most, you know, that was the most difficult one in terms of the frustration with the program. But also, I think one of the bigger hits, because Prentice Gill was the wide receivers coach. Who cares, right? That was kind of a disaster. The tight ends coach was gone. Who cares? Zach Hill resigned, whatever. I thought Hawkins was kind of the one where I was like, ah, that's a problem. So let's see if they're able to pick it up. Donnie Henderson is a secondaries coach. He filled in a little bit last year, and then they bring in somebody else. So I guess what I'm saying is, I guess I'm talking myself into your point, which is, yeah, the secondary was good last year, but let's see where it's at now. And I think you have to start off like with a C plus or a B minus in the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, I've got them at a C. Like, I've got a bunch of people I haven't seen play, and a new coaching, like a bunch of new coaches, right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess if you put that together, right, it looks like we have a pretty good quarterback, pretty good running back. Yep. Pretty good offensive line, questionable wide receivers that could be helped by a pretty good quarterback, yep. A decent front seven, and a very questionable secondary. I mean, that's a bowl team to me. Like if they stick together.
I mean, look, they've got Colorado and Arizona on the schedule, you know, they've got Eastern Michigan and the FCS game. They get an Oklahoma State team that is turning over nearly everybody in on their defense and has struggled on offense. I mean, I think this, like, you know, they're going to have a shot, you know. I mean, they got Stanford too, right? So, like, they've got a really good shot, I think, to get to a bowl. I think that's right.
Yeah. So take heart, ASU fans. And then just, you know, keep hitting refresh on those message boards for the next coach, because I think you have like two recruits for the 2023 season. That's a problem. But I think, you know, this could be the last hurrah, you know, for Herm Edwards and the boomer, you know, and the boomer coordinators that he's brought in over the course of a number of years. Rob, anything else on ASU before we go to Utah?
No, I think we got it.
Okay. Let's talk about Utah, a team that also looks very good on paper, but also won the conference last year. And let's do it right after this. All right, we're back. We're talking Utah Utes football, a team that really put it together last year. And boy, howdy, once they had Cam Rising as the quarterback, this program was rolling. And I think, unlike some of these other teams that we're going to preview, Rob, this is a team that we kind of know what we're going to get, right? Like, a lot of consistency, quarterback returns, running back returns, basically most of the offensive line back, wide receivers return. The defense is a little bit, you're going to see some new names there, but continuity on the coordinator front. They basically have most of the same coaches. I know that I think their running backs coach was raided by USC, but for the most part, this is a team that won the conference and basically brings the band back together with Cam Rising. I guess the thing that worries me a little bit is, all right, we got a year on Rising, right? Sometimes these new quarterbacks that come into a program, they get hot, and then the coordinators get a year of film and go, all right, I think we got this. I think that's a risk, but where do the Utes rate out here, and where do they project in the model?
So we haven't projected at number 8. You know, they were really good last season to end the season. I mean, after Cam Rising takes over, the offense finished at number 6 overall. The defense finished at number 9. Special teams was at number 15. This Utah team really put it together last year. They were an explosive offense. Unsurprisingly, they were a lot better running the football. Number 4 overall in effective rush, 39 in effective pass. Rising generally does enough in the passing game. In addition to what he brings with his legs. But the defense was pretty good. They struggled against the pass a bit. And that's something I think, to watch out for with this team coming into this season. But they were pretty good against the run. There's a lot to like. I mean, the coordinator continuity with Scally and Ludwig, Rising coming back, you know, like this team, like we've got them projected to win the conference. And potentially be a playoff team.
Yeah, Cam Rising, right? A?
Yeah, I've got him in an A- B+. Just because I think Caleb Williams is, like, if you're going to give Caleb Williams an A, like, I think he's a better overall quarterback talent.
On paper, Rob, let's see where the rubber hits the road. Is that not fair? Like, I don't know. Like, I it's a bummer because we did our quarterback, the famous, infamous.
The lost episodes.
Yeah. Somebody's going to dig around on the cloud and find it one of these days. But and one of the things that we debated was, I've seen Rising do this. Although Williams kind of stepped in the middle of the year too, right?
Right.
So yeah, I guess you're right. Like Williams likely has, Williams does have the better potential, but Rising, I just think in this offense is going to be really solid and push them forward. If you take a look at his numbers, 20 touchdowns to 5 interceptions, 2,400 yards, 7.8. Just like better numbers straight up than Emory Jones. When you're taking if you want to compare him to somebody that we've just talked about, 500 yards on the ground. So he's still running the ball. He had 6 touchdowns. I mean, just adds a ton. And I'm interested to see year 2 in this offense. It's probably going to be the same. One of the things that I found interesting is I've heard a lot of people say that Britton Covey, losing him was a big deal. Like he was fine and he wasn't on the field that much. Like,
I'm not sold on that. Covey, they found ways to get him the ball in interesting places. He certainly, and that's one thing that I think Ludwig does really well. Is find ways to get guys the ball. In different ways, like you'll see a tight end end around, out of Ludwig. And I think those are, really like creative, but Covey wasn't a force in the passing game. But I mean, their tight ends were the force in the passing game for them.
And the safety nets. Like I know that Covey got some third downs. I hear that, but
I mean, he did have 52 catches. I guess I feel like I'm like understating it a little bit, but
yeah, I don't know. I just I watched almost every Utah game and yeah, he was important, but I think he's not irreplaceable. That's what I'm saying. And I think it sounds like they're trying to put Money Parks. They're looking at moving him over into that slot position, or Micah Bernard. I'm sorry. Money Parks is at the wide receiver. Micah Bernard, the guy that played secondary, famously the pigeon pose in the Ohio State. But that's how good of an athlete he is to go from running back to corner to the slot position. I think that's fascinating to see if they're able to put that together. What do you think? Look, the wide receiving core for this team has always been meh, but they bring back Brant Keithy. And that's interesting. You know, they've been recruiting all these tight ends that is so funny. Cause like we were talking about all the tight ends they brought in. And then it was the one from the University of San Diego, which like, I didn't even know had a football program, was actually the guy that was awesome. Like he was really good. I just assume that they're going to be able to bring in somebody and develop that talent just based on what they've been able to do and the scheme. Like, is that too aggressive in an assumption with Utah?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the fair way to think about this, and I think it's right, is like, look, like this is probably an A tight end unit, and I have the wide receivers as a D.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, look, like Covey brings you something. Like they definitely do a lot, whether it's with the tight ends or with the slot receiver last season. They definitely did more in the middle of the field. But I still like, you're gonna have, you know, two wide receivers out at the sidelines, your X and Y. And there's just nobody that you think of like, am I even gonna notice him in the game? Right. And that, I mean, like, I don't think it's that important in the offense. It will only become important when or if they make it to either a high profile bowl game or the playoff. Right. Like they will likely only be put in a place where their offense feels like it's in a phone booth when they run into a top-notch defense. And I don't think they're going to run into one in the Pac-12 this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that this will be an effective offense. And then, like, you know, Tavian Thomas, just, my goodness. Yeah. I mean, if you think of the program and just the personnel they lost tragically, to have Thomas come in, and they brought up a lot of people, right? Like, I liked Marcus Bernard. They brought in transfers from Oklahoma and LSU, and it's actually the running back from Cincinnati that actually gets the time and is awesome. So he returns, and Rob, like the offensive line, I mean, basically they return almost everybody. Their tackle, like, now I know Jaron Kump, who's over at right tackle, is kind of, I mean, he was a starter and then he got injured. So I mean, like, this whole, like, the band is back, and I think that there's a real chance that they are one of the more effective offenses in the conference, which is so funny because it's like, it's Utah, you know, like they did it, Rob. They've been doing it for a number of years now.
Yeah. I mean, they finally found their guy in Ludwig to like help put it together. And Ludwig found his guy, I mean, after a real misfire in Charlie Brewer, you know, they found the guy to make it go. I think, you know, like to your point, the running back room, the offensive line, they had to move guys around and retool it a little bit, but by the end of the year, it really worked. I think they're going to be like, I think this offense is going to be an A offense, right? Like the only real weakness here is your wide receivers. And we talked about like, that's not a glaring weakness because they don't use them a lot. You know, like this is an offense that is going to look, I mean, if you look at like what they're doing, you can see some flex bone in it sometimes with what Ludwig's doing. They're going to, you know, look, do a lot of misdirection in the run game. Rising's going to burn you with his leg some. They're going to put up a lot of points, for sure. I mean, I think they have a shot to be like another a top five offense again.
Yeah. And then one of the players to keep a lookout for, and I don't know if he blows up this year, but the staff really likes Ricky Parks. And it's always so funny because, I mean, how many years has it been where we're looking at the running back room and we're like, oh, that guy's probably the guy. And then it's like a random three-star, random transfer that comes in and just is awesome. I think Ricky Parks can be one of those players that really steps in and pushes. Now, I absolutely don't think that he's going to take the starting job at all from Tavian Thomas. But what I'm saying is that There's depth there. You have Jalen Glover and some other players there. Yep. Like Micah Bernard was a running back who I kind of liked and was pushed out of that position, basically into the slot receiving position. So that's exciting to me that they have that kind of talent. I think that they're ready to go. And I give this offense an A. Like, I just think it's going to be really difficult. Maybe an A minus. I think an A minus is probably fair. But I think it's going to be difficult for, like you mentioned, Rob, Pac-12 teams to stop it. And I'm curious to see what happens when they go to Florida. I mean, like, we'll know right away, you know. Now, that Florida team is starting to figure itself out also, you know, in addition to some a lot of other programs this year. But, I mean, it is an SEC defense in the heat, on the road, in a different time zone. Let's see what this offense truly is. And it's pretty exciting to be able to see that in week one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like, we talk about, you know, the, you know, like I would be interested to see how well this offense goes without Rising. Right. Like, I'm not like they've recruited better, right, than maybe, you know, certainly than they have in the past on at QB. But if Rising were to be injured, like, that could really hurt what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they need the threat. They need, like, what Rising added versus Brewer, of course, was, like, Rising is a terrific runner, really add something with his legs. He's a good enough passer to really also, you know, like, you know, to you know, keep you from cheating too much. You just wonder if anybody brings enough, anybody else that they have currently brings enough to the table, you know, to be able to really, I think, replace him if there was an injury.
Let's pray that doesn't happen. I want to see Utah push for a playoff.
I know, me too.
I do. And they're going to get challenged by USC. They'll be challenged by Oregon, and if not, like, in the regular season, right? That with the different setup now, I think that they're likely going to see one of those two teams. And man, it'll just be really nice to see what they're able to do there. Let's shift over to defense here, Rob. Unless you have anything else on the offense.
No. I mean, like, they've got, like I said, like, they've got, like, Nate Johnson's a guy they just signed. I mean, he's grading out at like a 91 at you know, at 247s, but he's probably too young to really make, you know, make a big difference this year, you know, QB. So that's the main thing I would say is, like, they definitely have more intriguing pieces in place behind Rising than maybe Utah's had in the past. But I don't think that there's anyone there that has, like, you know, that could really be the driver of this offense at the level that they've been at. So, but that's true of nearly everyone, right? Like, nobody's got, I mean, this, in this day and age, nobody's got, like, a star backup QB sitting around.
Yeah. Except Ohio State, which apparently, like, bleeds them to other programs and win national championships. But outside of that,
you can't stop Ohio State recruiting. Like, there's just no stopping it.
It's so gross. All right. Let's flip over the defense and let's do it right after this. All right. We're back. We're talking Utah defense. And so I'm curious, right? Like, Utah usually known for their defense, but if I recall, I think the offense actually graded out better than the defense last year. Is that the case, Rob?
Yeah. I mean, the defense was good. I'm sorry, what were you asking? I was trying to look up something about the defense real fast.
if the offense graded out better than the defense last year.
Yes. So yes, the offense graded out better than the defense. They were number 6 overall. Defense graded out at number 9. What they struggled with is, like, what we talked about a little bit with some other teams, they struggled with drive efficiency. They gave up some points. You could put together drives against this Utah team, but excellent at containing explosive drives, number 4 there. Where they struggled a bit was defending the pass, 34 ineffective pass. And they were, you know, they had some components, particularly like the safeties, that were a little bit better against the run than they were against the pass. And then they had some injuries at cornerback.
Yeah, I think, you know, aside from what we were doing with ASU, I kind of want to flip this and start with the secondary, because that's the area where I am a little worried, right? Because Clark Phillips is awesome. And I mean, I think he'll be playing in the NFL, but what do we got here in the secondary, right? Like, Cole Bishop, RG Hubert. I mean, I think Cole Bishop will end up being the strong safety, but let's see what they're able to do. I don't know. Like, if this Utah defense is like top 12, I think they win the conference, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody else that we expect to be as both excellent and balanced, right? Like, I mean, I think USC's offense has some really significant upside. You can talk me into Oregon's defense potentially being pretty darn good, but there's nobody that should be, you know, consistently as good as Utah. And there's players you really love. I mean, like Clark Phillips is, you know, like likely a early round draft pick.
I think he's the highest recruit Utah's ever had. And he's showing out. Like he's going to be really solid. Now he was a second team All Pac-12 last year, but I think people are thinking, you know, of big things for him. You get that lockdown corner. Let's see what else we have behind there at the nickel and the cornerback position, though. I think that's where it's interesting. And then, like you said, Robbie, you know, the safeties, you know, good at stopping the run. Okay, let's see you stop that pass now. I don't know. We'll see if they're there. But like, if you flip it over to, like, in fact, actually, where would you give the secondary here? Like a B?
Yeah, I mean, so I've got the safeties at a B. I've got cornerback at an A. So, like, I mean, you can put it somewhere. Like, I think Phillips is good. They definitely had some injuries at the other corner spot. They're expecting those guys back. You know, like, I think the corner should be an A. And then the safeties are, we have a few more questions there. And they're moving on, right? Like, you got new guys stepping in versus the guys last year. You know, they could be better against the pass. I mean, like, we have to really see them play a lot.
Yeah. Speaking of replacing players, ooh, buddy, linebacker.
Yeah.
Dude, it was so freaking fun to watch Utah just running around, just lighting people up, stopping that run. And they lose two key, you know, linebackers. But I do think it's interesting because what they're able to bring in. Look, I think there's going to be a drop off between what we saw last year, you know, in terms of the ability of the linebacking core to really make a difference. But I think the pieces that they bring in are interesting here. They bring in the top tackler from Florida. We always talk about Utah's ability to, like, just, you know, grab, you know, reach into a recycling bin and just take out converted safeties and players and just be able to put together these linebackers. So, like, this is the one area where I'm not as worried about, right? Devin Lloyd, Nephi Sewell are gone. Big players. Like, you know, I think Lloyd had more than 100 tackles, but, like, sometimes you can get stat counting on that front, like, where it's like, oh, they had 100 tackles, but they funneled everything there. I think they did some of that, and he was awesome. So was Sewell. So now they bring in, and my apologies, I'll get the, I think it's Muhammad Diabate from Florida. And here's the interesting thing. They bring in Landon Barton, who is a 5-star freshman, and the team and the staff really like him.
Lander.
Did I say, what did I say? Lighten?
Landon.
Landon. Lander. My apologies, Lander. 5-star. I can't get that name wrong. Lander Barton had a really strong spring. Let's see what he does in the fall. But I just think, based on what this team has been able to put together in that position and the defensive scheme that they use, I'm just not that worried about the linebacking position anymore.
I feel like for a lot of years, even, like, who are they going to replace this linebacker that is, you know, it was like second team All-American on at least one of the All-American teams or something like that. And you know what? They do. Like, I think they've got a really good track record with it. I am not terribly fussed about the linebackers. You know, they were excellent. I will say this, like, the linebackers and the defensive line were really good at their run gap assignments last season. They were even the linebackers did struggle a little bit in coverage last season. So they could use a little more balance, I think, too. Because that's where Utah was more vulnerable, I think, last year, was passing over the middle.
You think that scheme, right? Because they tend to send those guys in early and often.
That's true. I mean, like, they do blitz, and they are a green dog team. So, you know, if your assignment is a back in the backfield and that guy doesn't go out, you are blitzing.
So something to keep a lookout for there. But I do think that, look, there's going to be a drop off, but I don't think the drop off is going to be glaring enough where I'm worried about the defense going into the defensive line here. Devin took Kafusi, Junior Tafuna. I mean, they have the big bodies there. They bring in Gabe Reed. And the player I'm excited to look out for is Van Fillinger. And here's why I think I'm even more bullish on Utah than I normally am. It's because a lot of the recruiting that there has been a step up. It hasn't been as high as I would have hoped for Utah, but you're starting to see the players that they've brought in cycle through. Clark Phillips, right, was a star recruit. Van Fillinger was like a high four-star defensive end. The staff likes him. Yeah. He'll fill in a defensive end on that front. Lander Barton might start right off the bat. They've just really started to increase that ability to bring in really solid players. And now you're starting to see these guys hit the field with a consistent defensive staff. And that all that I feel like is I mean, like every program wants that.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you're right. Like, Fillinger, I think, is a guy to keep an eye on. Here, I think they sort of had guys like Bradley and I who emerged, right? Like they had been, I'm interested to see who really gets talked about in fall camp. Because they do need somebody to really emerge. They were decent last season. They certainly generated some sacks, but they really do. I think they really do need to get better in a lot of ways too at the defensive line, because they haven't had. There's nobody currently that you would look at on this defensive line and say like, oh, like they're going to be a draft pick, right? Like, that's the problem I think at the moment, right? Is like they have to get better because like Mika Tafua last season he's off to the NFL. But they really do have to like improve like overall their like what you're getting out of that the defensive line. Cause I don't know, they don't seem to have the dominant kind of player, at least since Bradley and I was there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see if there's somebody that can really step up and provide that. But I thought that last year, or was it 2 years ago? Wait, we're like Oregon kind of embarrassed that defensive front. Right. Like it was 2 years ago. They just ran like, and Hipladay was like, this line sucks. And he was right. I do think that they were able to on both fronts, like in the trenches, on the offensive and the defensive front, really come back and assert that stability that you just expected from Utah. And now they basically, you have a really strong returning group of players that come in. I would give the line a B. I think
I give him a B. Yeah. I think that's about right. Yeah,
with some upside, and same thing with the linebackers. I start them out at a B, B minus with like a really strong upside, just because I haven't seen Diabate play for Utah. We haven't seen Lander play for Utah yet. So, but I do think that the ceiling's higher there than we've expected in the past of these programs. So they've earned it.
Yeah, I mean, Tafu was even like an undrafted free. I mean, like that's what. Like, I mean, if you look at this team, what they could have been had Sewell come back, he's an undrafted free agent. Tafua come back, undrafted free agent. Like, man, like you could really be talking about a team that is like a defense that could. I think that they're still likely, like, I mean, Utah hasn't put together a really bad defense in years. But, I think if those guys return, you're talking about a defense that's really, has a shot to like be in the top, challenging the offense for which one's the better unit.
Yeah. All right. Let's wrap it up here with one last or two last things here, Rob. I forgot to do this for ASU too, so we'll have to do it for them. But just looking at the schedule here, at Florida, Southern Utah, San Diego State at home, their non-conference. And then we have at ASU, Oregon State at home. That's bad radio, right? People aren't following along with this. But like, I think the non-conference is important, which we've highlighted in our last show. But like, let's do this. Let's pick out a couple games that you think are going to be the games that will determine the season for Utah. For me, I think it's the game at Florida, obviously, to start the year.
Right.
And they do have to go on the road to UCLA. That's an interesting game. But they do get USC at home, and they got to go to Oregon. I think those are the most important ones, right? Anything else here jump off the page?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it, right? I mean, that San Diego State game could be sneaky, no fun, right? that San Diego State defense can give you fits. And so keep an eye. I mean, I don't expect Utah with rising playing to really like stumble like they did last season. But that Florida game, I think really too, for setting the tone for this Utah team and what they want to accomplish this year, you know, like this Florida game is critical for them. They've had some slow starts in the past. They really need to put it together and win this one so that they, because a loss there against a Florida team that isn't, they're not likely to be challenging Georgia or Bama, is really going to hurt them, you know, down the stretch. You know, if they're in the 12 and, you know, if that's their one loss, you know, that's not going to look good if they're having to win a beauty contest to get in the playoff.
And then if you're like, you know, there's a lot of Utah fans that listen to the show, but there's a lot of fans that aren't Utah players. You know, who are the players that if you're not following Utah that you think people should just watch, you know, as they're watching the game?
I mean, Keithy, you know, watch the tight ends for sure. And then whoever fills in for Lloyd, right? Like whoever is the line, like watch the line, like for Utah's defense, for what you're going to see, you know, out there, you need to watch what the linebackers are doing. That's going to tell you a lot about what's going on with the defense, and what they're going to run. I think they should, like, this Utah team should be a lot of fun. And I'm interested to see like who gets, I mean, they've got, like, to your point, like they've got a lot of really talented running backs. Like, man, like how do they even get enough carries for everybody?
Yeah. For me, you know, the players that you mentioned, on my end, I'm going to be really focused on the safeties this year. And this is more for like football reasons, not necessarily like casual watching. Like, I really want to see what those safeties are able to do to stop the passing game and also to stop the running game. Because like we talked about, I think they've done a better job stopping the run. Let's see if they're able to mature and really bring more of a force in the passing game to break up passes, you know, to be in the right spot, to be good in coverage. I think that will determine whether or not this is a playoff team or not. And I'm pretty excited to watch that. Flipping over to ASU, Rob, let's take a look really quickly at their schedule. With their schedule, it's different, right? Because like Utah, if they run the table, they're in the playoff. If ASU win six games, they're in a bowl. I think that's kind of the difference here where we're looking with these teams. So what are the games that are going to really determine whether or not ASU is going to go to a bowl?
I mean, there's going to be like a couple of toss-ups in here, right? Yeah. That are going to really determine where they end up. I mean, the game, again, like oddly enough, like the game against UCLA, depending on where UCLA's defense is, mm-hmm. I think is an interesting one. I think there's like versus Washington State. I think we're like, everybody's talked themselves. Like that's a game. ASU turned the ball over a million times that game last season. And Oregon State, right? Like they're going to have a stretch after they get done with Colorado or the UCLA, Washington State and Oregon State. And they might be in a position depending on the way things have gone, because they're going to have a run from Utah, like where they get Utah, USC and Washington. They could be, you know, they could be like 2-4 after that point.
Yeah.
Right. Then you get Stanford and Colorado, and you can't afford to drop either of those. Like you got to get wins there. That gets you back to 4-4. Then you need at least one win. But I mean, I think this ASU team is, I don't think they're good enough to win all of Stanford, Colorado, Arizona. Right, they probably drop one. I don't know which one, but that means that, you know, they definitely need to. They might be in a position if they did that they might need to win two out of three in UCLA, Washington State, Oregon State. Yeah. That stretch is going to determine their season.
It's funny to say that UCLA, Washington State, Oregon State, Arizona is a brutal stretch, because it's not. But for a team like you're saying that could be the wagon wheels are rickety and they're kind of going in directions that they shouldn't go, that is a brutal stretch, because those are all teams that can jump up and bite you, right? Like,
right.
I think I'm not worried about Colorado. I am worried about Oregon State. I'm worried about ASU. I'm worried about UCLA. And then you got to play at Arizona for the Territorial Cup, and that game gets weird. And ASU has handled the weird well for like the last 5 years.
Right.
But I do think Arizona's trajectory is headed in a high, you know, in the upwards direction. So that could be a game where really, you know, Arizona has two wins on the schedule and they don't care. They want this third one. Like, I do think that that's an interesting game that is definitely worth watching.
Well, we talked about this last year with Arizona. Like, they played hard all season, right? Like, they didn't quit. What happens with if ASU hits that stretch, right? Like, where they come out, of the Washington game and they're 2-4, and then the Herm announcement comes or something. Like this ASU team, the games they got to win are on this back stretch. Like, there's not much of a chance for Herm to like build momentum early in the schedule. And that could really curdle this season for ASU.
I'm gonna put my marker down now, Rob. This game will not end 70-7 in favor of Arizona. No. That will not happen.
Look, yeah, like, I think Arizona has I don't think Arizona's gonna win a lot more games, but I think they're gonna be better and more competitive, and I think everyone should expect that this season.
I totally agree. Who are some players here on this ASU team that, if you're, you know, an average Pac-12 fan and you know your team is playing ASU, who should you be looking for?
I'm gonna watch out for the running back from Wyoming, Holiday. He was pretty good. You know, look out for their and look out for Jones. Like, obviously, like, always keep an eye on the quarterback, but Jones is a little underrated coming into this. Like, he was pretty good. What really killed him were the turnovers. He's not going to be facing SEC defenses. You know, like, he should have. We should get to see some really good stuff out of him. And I think he might be a sneaky good fun story in the Pac-12 this season.
You know, like, I agree. And he'd be a great story for the conference. The one thing that would that bothered me, though, is, like, you know, he does well at Arizona. Everybody's, oh, your SEC player does well in the Pac-12. I'm so surprised. Like, come on, man. Like, I could already see those things happening. The two players that I want to keep a lookout for, and look, this is the difference between a bowl team and a national title contender, where you look at this roster and you're like, the Wyoming transfer running back, Emory Jones. And then you kind of look after that and it's a bit of a, whatever.
Right.
But Ladarius Henderson is a good guard on the left side.
Yeah.
And this staff, like, I think he started as a true freshman. And he had some,
was he like 17?
Yeah. And the team, I think the team like redshirted him when he was 18. Cause they're like, you're going to be awesome. And we started you a little early. So I think his story is fascinating. So keep a lookout for him, the left guard, Ladarius Henderson. And then I'm sticking with Brian Thompson. I really, now that a lot of players have departed the program, I'd like to see if he's good. Cause I think he is. I don't think he's going to be like one of the best wide receivers of the Pac-12, but I do think he's exciting. And he has the body and he can go up and catch it. And I would really like for him and Badger to be good on this team, because I think they would be exciting if that's the case. So keep a lookout for those guys. Anything else here on ASU or Utah, Rob?
No, I think we covered it.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for joining. We're going to continue our previews. We're going to go through, we'll be on time. We're going to get every team in the bucket ready to go for the season. And then we got our previews coming up. So thanks everybody for joining us. You can follow us at 12 Pack Radio. Rob, where are you at with the videos?
I've got Iowa next. My favorite ripping of nepotism.
Love it.
Annually.
Love it. Keep that ball on the ground. hold on. Right, one last question for you on turnover luck, right? Because Iowa, like, right, this is the advanced stats, like, you know, battle death cage match. Iowa had a lot of turnovers, a lot of interceptions last year. Was that scheme or was that luck?
Both.
Okay.
I mean, like, so there are things that are correlated to interceptions in particular, like pass rush, getting to the quarterback, making him bring his eyes down, take his eyes off of downfield, is pretty good for helping to throw, you know, helping to your defensive backs get interceptions. But there's also like there's real turnover luck, and Iowa had, I think with Iowa too, like, it would be difficult to repeat their turnover luck. in particular. Like they have a really good defense. That helps. The secondary coaching is excellent under Phil Parker. But yeah, there is a little bit of luck and a little bit of scheme that goes into it. But turnover luck is by far and away the biggest bit of luck in football.
Well, I'm excited to see what happens over there. You can see those videos at sharpcollegefootball.com where all of our advanced statistics are, and all of Rob's. I mean, I say ours, like I just ask him questions about it. but Rob's done a ton of work there and it's excellent. So feel free to check that out. You can check us out on YouTube, Sharp College Football. Everybody, thanks for tuning in and we'll catch you next week.